So this is the last week of this series, which has been called Feeling the Way Jesus Felt, and it's the Easter series, and so we are going through the Easter story, but more importantly, we are talking about how Jesus felt at each step. Obviously, his sacrifice and everything he did is vital to who we are and how we live and what our faith is and that the church exists, period, but looking at how he felt and still treated people is so important because in our world, one of the things that is a problem, and I could list a bunch of problems in our world, but one of the things that's a problem is it's very easy to build a bubble around yourself. And so you can follow, like, watch, whatever, only the people that agree with you. So like only the people with your point of view you're ever around. And then when you go out into the world with real people, you're all of a sudden hit with these different views, and a lot of people respond negatively to that. You see it a lot with the capital C church, like with people who only watch a certain thing and only follow certain people, and then somebody else out in the world has a different view or a different belief, and they don't know how to handle it. But Jesus showed that he handled it with grace and with love. We started by talking about the fact that he knew all of this was going to happen, and so he would tell his disciples some, but they just never could quite grasp it, because their belief in the Messiah was that he would be a warrior king, that he'd basically take down Rome and take down Israel and be in charge, and everybody would be happy and in peace. But he was all about eternity. He was about showing love, showing grace, and then having an eternity at peace. And so to carry that burden of knowing what was going to happen, not just to him, but to his followers, had to be really hard, and yet he still showed them love and understanding and patience. We talked about the fact that he was betrayed twice within like 5 minutes, and this is after the disciples had fallen asleep like three times. Basically, he's going to pray, and he's like, guys, I'm praying. This is about the end of where I'm going to get arrested, so I just need you to stay awake, keep watch, and let me know. They fell asleep three separate times, and so you can imagine, if you've told somebody to do something important to you three straight times and each time they failed, you're going to get a little frustrated. And yet Jesus just said, just go ahead and sleep now, guys. I'll wait. Never mind. He's coming. Like, he was still very kind and graceful. And then he gets betrayed by Judas. Judas is characterized as like a one-dimensional character sometimes, like just an evil guy, just a betrayer. He was with Jesus for 3 years every single day. He did good things. Like, nobody is all bad or all good. And so him and Jesus had a family-type relationship. And so being betrayed by him had to hurt. And then in what could have been a bigger betrayal, depending on how you look at it, when he's arrested, Peter tries to fight a guy and cuts off his ear. That goes completely against everything Jesus ever talked about. He preached nonviolence and love and helping people and healing people. And so to cut off a guy's ear in front of him in his name had to be a betrayal also. In fact, a lot of people will teach that the commandment that is taking the Lord's name in vain is saying it as a cuss word. But what it really means, or what I think it really means, what a lot of theologians think it really means, is doing something in God's name that he did not tell you to do. And a lot of people over history have done that, where they've gone to war, they've hurt other people, and they claim that they have God behind them, and they're just using it to up themselves. And that's kind of what Peter is doing here. Now, he may have thought he was doing the right thing, but basically he's like, I'm going to fight for him. And Jesus is like, that's not what we do. And so he heals the guy and goes on. Last week we talked about him on the cross. And so he gets beaten 39 times, almost to death, with a whip that brings the flesh off of his bones every time it hit and just hurts him. And it had to hurt so much. And while this is happening, everybody that he is doing this for is yelling awful things at him. They mock him. They hate him. And then he's hung up on the cross. And while he's dying, he asks for forgiveness of other people. While he's dying, he asks for forgiveness for the criminal next to him. While he's dying, he takes care of his mom and John, and he only thinks of other people. This is who he is. Obviously, when you're a Christian, you want to follow his example and you want to follow his commands, but the main thing he did was love people. The main thing he did was treat other people with respect, with grace. He talked to the Pharisees in the same way that he talked to his disciples. Like, he didn't say, sorry, you believe differently than me, so we can't be friends. He's like, hey, this is what I think. Let's talk about it. And he was very upfront and very kind. And even if they didn't agree, he still loved them. This week, we're wrapping it up with The Return of the King, a title I made up completely out of the blue. And so we're going to John chapter 20, verses 11 through 23. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. This is Mary Magdalene, not Mary, his mom. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" So to begin with, he still looked like himself, but it was kind of like, I've talked about heaven before, and we get kind of our perfect form of what we would be without corruption, without all of that stuff. Like, I can't tell you an exact age. It's just whatever genetically you could have been without whatever is going on in your life. And so Jesus looked a little bit different, but he was still recognizable. But because she wasn't expecting to see him, and because he had just come back from the dead, and because he did have a slightly different appearance, it was hard for her to recognize him. One time when I was substituting in Seymour, I went into the high school, and like I saw this girl sitting there, and she was a nurse, and she had like the thing on the name tag on that said nurse, and she like waved at me, and I, you know, waved back, so I'm polite, I leave, and then later she texted me because it was my friend's wife, and I did not recognize her because they live in Columbus, and it's just like, I went in this place, I never see anybody I know, I did not expect to know her, and so even though I saw her, and my brain kind of clicked with, oh, do I know them? I kept going about my business. So sometimes if we see someone in a place we don't expect, we don't really recognize them. And so that kind of going at play too. But also she's just shattered because Jesus meant so much to her. He had saved her life literally. He had saved her life through grace. He had saved her life through faith. Like he had allowed her to basically be a disciple even as a woman. This also shows us, so one of the things people will sometimes tell you about finding evidence for our faith, had people had an interest in faking all of this, there's no way Jesus' first appearance would have been to a woman. Because at this time, when the Bible was written and when all of this was happening, women were not even counted as people. Like, they were counted as property. They did not have the right to be witnesses. And so to put, hey, Jesus talked to this woman first, that immediately cuts out a lot of people from believing it. And so Jesus shows up, and she's very upset. She sees him, and yet he doesn't say, "Hey, you should know me. Hey, you're supposed to be out doing what I said after I died. Like, you're supposed to carry this on. You're not supposed to mourn me. You're supposed to love people. You're supposed to do this, blah blah blah." Instead, he asks why she's crying. Like, he legitimately cares about her. He was just beaten, killed, went to hell, came back, and he still looks at her first. He still asks her questions first. You guys, everybody here is going to go through horrible things at different times. You're going to lose people. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to be rejected. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. You're going to do the wrong thing. I'm not saying this is like your next week. I'm saying that over the course of your life, these things are going to happen to you. And so you're going to have times where you really want to lash out and you really want to treat somebody else like garbage. A lot of times, if you're picked on, if you're bullied, you then look to do that to somebody else because it hurts and it sucks. And most of us here have felt that, what it feels like. And yet Jesus shows us no matter what we face, the only thing that can change who we are is us. Like, we control who we are. We control how we reach people. We control who we are to people. I'm not saying allow people to punch you in the face every day. I'm saying show them who you really are. Don't let somebody else change you. Don't let how somebody else treats you. Don't let what somebody else does. Don't let what somebody else says about you change you. It will hurt. I get it. But to continue being who you are, follow the example of Jesus here. Going to the next part. She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. He put the most important message of all time, the fact that he had beaten death, the fact that he was victorious, he gave it to Mary. Not even that she's a woman and how women were considered, but she was also... her name has been slandered over the years. People talk about her being a prostitute. They talk about her being all kinds of awful things just because they don't want to believe that she had changed her life. She had been possessed. She had been hurt. She had been abused. And all of these things happened. She found Jesus and she became a follower. She essentially became a disciple and he gives her this important thing. And so she goes and she does it. It does not matter who she is. It does not matter what her past is. Jesus just sees her. That's another lesson we could take from him. He doesn't look at somebody and be like, "Wait, let's figure out what you think and who you are and what you've done and tell me everything you've ever done before we talk." He just cared about who they are. He just cared about who they could be. A lot of people are going to be waiting to remind people of their past, and it sucks. But We don't have to be like that. We can allow people to change. Again, this does not mean that if somebody is abusive or somebody is cruel or somebody hurts you, that you have to keep letting them do that. It is okay to cut people out of your lives, but to even do that in a loving way, to allow yourself to let that go, not to continue to carry hate or grudges. But if somebody does try to make up for something, to allow them, if it's possible, just like Jesus did here, he gave her this call. He gave her this part of it. And when he says, don't cling to me, he's not saying, hey, don't hug me, I don't want to be touched. He's saying, you have a lot to do and I have a lot to do. There's a lot of things going on. One of the things that shows us most who he is, without answering out loud, think about what you would do if you had just been abused and just been hurt and just been betrayed and just been yelled at and just been killed, and then you come back from the dead. Think about who you would go first. Without even knowing what you guys are thinking, most of us would go to the bullies first, the people that killed us, the people that hurt us, the people that yelled at us. And we'd maybe not hurt them, but we'd be like, what's up, I'm back. And we'd kind of scare them. Jesus, though, he goes to the people that he wants to help, and he goes to Mary, and that shows who he is. It's not about revenge. It's not about getting people back. It's about continuing to be who he is, continuing to show love, continuing to show grace. Never once in the history, in the course of his life, did he change who he is. He didn't allow other people to change him, and he did that for us. His cross was absolutely a sacrifice. Dying on the cross, obviously, getting beaten. But every day of his life was a sacrifice for us to show us how to actually live. And we get it wrong a lot. Like Christians and people in churches and people around the world get this wrong a lot because we get so focused on what we think and we get so focused on what we want and we get so focused on what we are used to that we forget that Jesus loved everybody the exact same. And he still showed people respect and still showed them grace and still showed them hope. Going to the next part, he appeared to the disciples. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Because we sometimes forget, or it's not talked about a lot, we sometimes treat when we talk about the Easter story, when Jesus died, it's like, oh, well, that's it. Like, that was the big climax, and the followers were fine. They were just scared. No, the Pharisees and the Romans wanted to kill all of them. Like, it wasn't like, hey, we got Jesus, let's let him go. It was like, we're going to wipe them all out. So they were constantly afraid. And so that they were scared. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. He just appeared. Which again shows us a little bit of the resurrection thing. Like, physics didn't super matter. I've talked about the fact that in heaven, time isn't a thing. Physics technically aren't a thing the way they are here because God doesn't need those things. Those are for us to understand life, for us to understand science. And so he just appears, and that kind of shows us maybe you'll be able to just appear. I'm not going to tell you everything you can do in heaven. You'll have to find out. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, which shows him you still carry who you are with you. They are filled with joy when they see the Lord, or when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. There are two ways to read that. Unfortunately, a lot of people in the capital C church read that as, well, we have the right to forgive everybody, and if we don't, that means we're right and they're wrong. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, what I'm giving you is more than just a call. I am giving you a responsibility, and it is hard. Because if you don't forgive someone, they're not going to know how to be forgiven, so you have to go out and forgive them. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, hey, keep a little book and a checklist and then shut people down if you don't like them or if you disagree with them. He's saying, if someone comes looking for me and wants to receive me, help them find it. Don't try to block them. Don't try to stop them. Don't try to put roadblocks up. Help them. That's the responsibility he's giving them. That's the responsibility he's giving us. Too often we make it into a checklist and we make it into, this is how I think it should be, so let's make everybody else fit in this box. That's not what Jesus ever did. Each of the disciples was different. They were from different walks of life. They did different things. They acted different. They had different ideas. And yet he loved them all. Paul, who came after Jesus, he was a murderer. And yet he changed and he became different. And he was different than Peter was, who betrayed him and who doubted him. Who was different than John, who was always there but was still scared at times. All of them were different. And yet Jesus gave them all this same call. Mary Magdalene, like I said, had a very difficult life, and yet he still saw her. He didn't hold her past against her. He didn't hold her flaws against her. He just saw her, and he loved her, and he helped her. So he tells his followers, which includes the church and all of us, receive the Holy Spirit. Look to him for answers. And then when you hear people that are coming asking you, hey, how can I find me? How can I find Jesus? How can I find forgiveness? Help them. Don't block them. And so that's something sometimes we miss. The Easter story is absolutely about his return and the fact that he beat death and the fact that we have a chance for salvation and all of these things, the fact that he sacrificed and took away our sins and all of that. But it's also about the way that he treated people before, during, and after those times. It's about the way that he looked at them and he respected them and he honored them and he loved them. And if they didn't agree with them, he didn't hide what he thought, but he helped them and he conversed with them and he saw them as people and he saw who they are. And that is what we can take from the Easter story. And it's not just something to do at Easter, and it's not just something to do at Christmas. It's something to live our lives by, to know that Jesus felt such love for everybody he met that even when he was dying, even when he came back completely victorious and could have went around being like, hey, I told you. Like, man, Pilate, you really screwed up. Like, these are things we would have done, and yet Jesus just loved everybody. That's what we have to do. We have to show that to everybody. That's how we change things. That's how we are a change. That's how we are like Jesus. And that's something we can all do. And that's all I got.